before we play this. Let's do this as a test run. So what the fuck is this?
This is Dan the Sack versus Scroobius Pip, Thou Shalt Always Kill.
Is this the guy you were telling me about, the English guy?
This is the British fucker, who...
With the Andy Cap cap?
He's just fucked, man. Like, I've listened to a number of his shit since then, and, yeah, he's a tad fucked up. But, yeah, I figure you'll like him. I really think you'll like him.
So how'd you hear about this guy?
It was one of those stupid Facebook things. A friend of mine who was a cool chick put it up, said, this is the shit, and I listened to it and giggled my ass all the way through the video. And, yeah, it turns out this guy's fucking, he's pretty funny. He's really witty. I don't think he'd ever break into the top 40 ever.
Joe Strummer, Johnny Harmon, Desmond Dekker, Jim Morrison, Jimi Hendrix, or Sid Barrett in vain. I should not think any man over the age of 30 that plays with a child that is not their own is a paedophile. Some people are just nice. I should not read NME. I should not stop liking a band just because they've become popular. Thou shalt not question Stephen Fry. I should not judge a book by its cover. I should not judge Lethal Weapon by Danny Glover. I should not buy Coca-Cola products. I should not buy Nestle products. I should not go into the woods with your boyfriend's best friend, take drugs and cheat on him. I should not fall in love so easily. I should not use poetry, art or music to get into girls' pants. Use it to get into their heads. I should not watch Hollyoaks. I should not attend an open mic and leave as soon as you've done your shitty little poem or song, you self-righteous prick. I should not return to the same club or bar, week in, week out, because you once saw a girl that you fancy, you're never going to fucking talk to anyway. I should not put musicians and recording artists on ridiculous pedestals, no matter how great they are or were. The Beatles were just a band. Led Zeppelin? Just a band. The Beach Boys? Just a band. The Sex Pistols? Just a band. The Clash? Just a band. Crass? Just a band. Minor Threat? Just a band. The Cure? Just a band. The Smiths? Just a band. Nirvana? Just a band. The Pixies? Just a band. Oasis? Just a band. Radiohead? Just a band. Block Party? Just a band. The Arctic Monkeys? Just a band. The Next Big Thing? Just a band. That should give equal words to tragedies that occur in non-English speaking countries as to those that occur in English speaking countries. That should remember that guns, bitches and bling were never part of the four elements and never will be. That should not make repetitive generic music. That should not make repetitive generic music. That should not make repetitive generic music. Should not make repetitive generic music. That should not pin my ride. That should not scream if you want to go faster. That should not move to the sound of the wickedness. That should not make some noise called Detroit. When I say hey, that should not say ho. When I say him, that should not say hop. When I say he, say she, say we, say make some noise. Kill me. Why have we bothered re-recording this vocal? Thou shalt not quote me happy. Thou shalt not shake it like a pole or a picture. Thou shalt not wish your girlfriend was a freak like me. Thou shalt spell the word Phoenix P-H-E-O-N-X, not P-H-O-E-N-X. Regards the Oxford English Dictionary tells you. Thou shalt not express your shock at the fact that Sharon got with Brad at the club last night by saying, is it? Thou shalt think for yourselves. And most importantly of all, thou shalt always, thou shalt always kill.
Yeah, so fuck it, I totally dig that song. I remember now, that was like last year when I was only home for a month. I remember you played that for me. I totally forgot about it. And it probably doesn't work as well without the video. So anybody listening to my fucking show,
do a search, Dan Lesac versus Scroobius Pip.
Yeah, and yeah. Oh man, that was fucking cool. Like, I don't know, that I love that part about so-and-so, just a band.
Yeah, where he goes on and he names pretty much every band that has ever been big in Britain and fucking just, yeah, they're just a band, fuck them, whatever.
And it's, like, I think, well, I did a little comic strip about it, but that was one thing, one of my signs of knowing I was growing up was to stop thinking that musicians know shit about dick, you know? Like, they're always reading these interviews with them thinking they might have something important to say, and I finally reached a point where I was like, not only do they not have anything to say, but they've got to do interviews so much that they're just trying to get through it. They don't have brilliant insights, and it's like, just who gives a shit? Just listen to the fucking song.
Well, it's like, I don't know, Bono. Bono's fucking, Bono's smart, isn't he? Nah.
He's a genius. and the music of that, too, like, that's the kind of thing where you remember when I had all those little bands and shit around, like, 2000?
Yeah, it was doing it basically with Nintendo sounds in the back. Like,
right, but the thing is, like, I would take all that kind of stuff and try to make it sound more like real music, like, try to hide that it was just computer shit, and I shouldn't have. I should have just embraced it, because it's such a huge thing now. Like, in New York, they had the Blip Festival. Literally, like, a guy will get up there with two Game Boys, and that's what he makes his music on. And like,
that's fucked up.
Because each Game Boy can only do like four channels of sound, and he wanted eight, so he has two Game Boys, but it's all just blips.
That is craziness.
Alright, so before I blab too much more, I guess I should tell everybody who the fuck you are.
Oh yeah, I'm Dan.
So this is my cousin Dan. Back when I first started doing the ham radios, I did the very first one in Vancouver, but then I was living with you and I did them with Matt and Ray a bunch. I wanted to do some more with Ray, but fucking moved away.
Well, yeah, he has that new girlfriend in Moncton, and I don't know. He's happy.
Yeah, so what can you do? It's too bad I was going to get the reunion thing. So you've kind of been, well, you were on the periphery, I guess, but then I moved away, so you've never actually been on one of these shows.
No, I've never done one of these shows.
I'm up to episode, like, this is going to be like episode 81.
I always feel that I was part of them, though, because I got you listening to
a lot of
shit beside Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, I think I brought this up on the show before, that I think, because you just mentioned Dave Matthews before, that's like the only time that you were into something that I was like, I don't know, I just can't get into this. Everything else, though, I was like, the one that shocks me the most to this day was when we had the first Creed album kicking around here.
And
you were like, listen, I know it's Creed, but I swear to God, there's some good songs on there.
A bunch of fucking Holy Rolling Pricks. But yeah, they did put out some good tunes.
Well, that's the one that amazed me, because I was like, I'm not listening to this shit. But then I put it in, and like, Torn was good. My Own Prison was good. There was some good shit.
The thing that amazed me was that I brought you the Beasties. And
yeah.
You, for like the longest time, were like, man, they sound like assholes. And then the next thing you know, you're the only person I know that actually got the anthology and bought the anthology.
I got, not only that, I got the one in stores, and you could go on their website and get a custom one.
Oh, that's the anthology, wasn't
it? Yeah, well, then there was like one you could just buy in stores that I bought also, because it had a big booklet that it explained a bunch of their songs. But yeah, you could pick what songs you wanted, and they put your name on it. I still got one of the two discs around here somewhere.
What happened to the other one? No idea?
I don't know. Just all this shit that's just laying around the house.
Was she drinking? You was, wasn't you?
Yeah, no, it's just, I'm just kind of glad my mom doesn't throw things away, because it's neat to just find old shit. It's like, cool, man, I forgot all about this.
No. during the age of cassettes, I had a friend who worked at a record store, and he would get all these weird demo tapes that they would play in the store. And this tape, apparently they weren't allowed to play. I have no idea why, because it came out. It would have been 93.
And this was, we're talking Andy, right?
Yeah, we're talking Crazy Andy.
Who tattooed half his face. Have you seen or heard from him?
Last year, and he's happy. He's medicated. He's doing art again, but there's no way he's getting a real job. I mean, he has I Am Death written down the side of his face in some weird tribal language he invented.
See, it's been, a long time since I've run into him, but we were in the same math class for 1 year in high school, and I always liked him. He's a good guy.
He was a good guy. He was an amazing artist, amazing vocalist. He was in a bunch of bands, he turned me on to a bunch of music, and then I turned you on to that stuff.
What was the... I saw them on Cable 10 one night, the band he was
Sylism.
In. Yeah, Sylism, that's right.
He was also in Abolish Shit.
Fat Dirt Chicks Rule.
Fat Dirt Chicks Rule was a good one. UFO, where the only lyrics they had was... You fuck off! And it was a great song. They were probably one of the better punk bands to come out of Fredericton, and, well, this is Fredericton, so nobody goes anywhere. But yeah, Andy used to hand me random cassettes and say, hey, I got this from work. I don't know whether it's any good. And he handed me this one tape by these guys called Dub War. And I put it in and I listened to it. And at first it sort of rubbed me the wrong way because it's got reggae, funky jive to it. But yeah, I don't know. Well before its time.
And I remember that tape ended up in my house for a while, and I really liked it. It only had two songs, right? I think.
And we've got one here, Strike It.
And the other one was something about the bomb shelter.
I have no idea, but it was close.
Songs. The bomb shelter. Something.
Murder in the backyard.
Or something, yeah.
Mental, that's what it's called. We'll have to try and look that up, too. If you get a chance, look up Dub War Mental.
Well, if I can find them, I'll play them both. Well, I can play Strike It for sure, because here it is on YouTube. But, amazing.
Yeah, Strike It. Check it out.
So, good songs.
Strike it!
So then that was, I was out in Vancouver at, they have this really famous record store called, what's it called? It's down on 4th. It's, everybody knows what I'm talking about. The famous record store in Vancouver. It'll come back to me later.
I've never been to Vancouver. I don't want to go.
And, oh, it's beautiful. But, except the junkies, the beautiful junkies. That's a, just to get off track for a second is, man, we bumped into my brother this morning.
Oh,
did
God.
You happen to hear when I was just like, so what are you up to this
so
morning?
What are you up to this morning? Drugs.
Yeah, well, at least okay. You're honest. I don't know. I have been thinking lately, like, I don't know, I should try to make some kind of effort to...
Dude.
I mean, I haven't said more than 3 words to the guy. Maybe not become his best fucking buddy again, because...
I've attempted to, and the only serious conversations I've managed to, like, keep on a normal track are the ones where I have to threaten his life because he's doing crazy things, like... He was dumping heroin needles in my yard for a while there. And I was like, look, dude, I got a kid. Get the heroin needles away from my yard. But, no.
Anyway, yes. That was a pointless divergence. But, yeah, so I was in this store, and they had, like, a huge dollar bin upstairs. It's, like, 2 floors. And I was just going through it, and I saw the Dubwar album for $1. And I was like, holy fuck, I would have bought this for $20 just because, like...
Back in the day, like, it was... I don't know. It's like Faith No More when they first hit. Everybody was sort of like, but these guys, I don't know, they weren't Faith No More, so they didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, it just never clicked. But
they're apparently, most of the band is now in a band called Skindred. They've had a little success. I've heard a couple of their tracks. One of them was on Need for Speed Underground 2, and that's, I don't know.
So they're still kicking.
That was about the time you sent me the album, was I was playing that game a lot.
Well, yeah, I remember when I got that CD. So it wasn't the same exactly, because it wasn't just like how the tape, the little demo tape thing, was just concentrated awesome, just two awesome songs. And the album wasn't as powerful all the way through, but it had some songs that I liked.
Just
You also sent me Feel These Dreams.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is I was just excited to find it, even just to mail it to you, to be like, dude, look what I found. Like, holy fuck, you remember this shit? And then Feel The, yeah, from Korn's bass player. Yeah, his own, what was it, like a rap album?
It was a wannabe rap album.
I don't even think I finished listening to
it. Like, if you've ever seen an interview with Reginald Feel The Arvez or whatever his fucking name is, I think that's his name. But, his voice just, I don't see how he thought he could rap.
Well, see, that one deserved the dollar bin. That's just a silly bullshit thing that never should have been made. But
but hey, he made it, and, you know, he had the money to make it, so whatever. And, did you hear about him?
Who, Fieldy?
Yeah, he's another one who found God.
No way, really?
Yeah, he's all godded up, and but he's not leaving Korn. He's not, like, head.
Yeah, see, that's one thing. I ramble a lot on this show, because that's what I like to do, is just music as an excuse to just blab about shit. But I'm glad that I listened to as much music as I did when I was, like, a teenager or my early 20s, because when you go back to old shit you used to know, there's just something so good about the, like, remember Dub War, you know?
You remember that shit? And
it's just, yeah, it just brings back nice memories of the past.
Well, the thing is it's a memory I can share with you, but, like, I try and get, like, I think Dwayne Broderick actually has this album, and he's, I don't know. I was like, dude, you gotta listen to this. And when you listen to it, I want you to tell me when it came out. Because I don't know, I'm horrible when it comes to weird, quirky music, and I'll force people to listen to it and say, okay, who's that vocalist, or who's playing bass, or when did this song come out, or blah. And knowing, everyone's like, oh, I don't know, last year? Because it was totally ahead of its time. But, of course, fuck, I'm behind the times in music now. I haven't listened to anything new. Of course, look at much music. It's all Rihanna and fucking Lady Gaga and... I don't know, have these scantily clad fucking idiots who have people writing their music for them.
It's true. Which is, speaking of Korn, that makes me so sad. It's like, I don't know if you've heard the last couple Korn albums. They're actually not bad. I mean, you can listen to them if you have to, but you go through the credits and they don't even write this shit. Hardly any of the songs are written by them anymore. They're just like, they're like, fuck it, we're just a machine now. We just want to keep going.
It's just money.
Someone else write our songs.
It's fucking money. I mean... I think the major issue is they've got John Davis off the booze and off on fucking antidepressants, so he can't write shit now.
And I mean, it happens to every band too, that they just get fucking fat. They're just fat.
Well, yeah.
So whatever.
Well, fuck, we were looking at what's-his-face there earlier, Everlast, and Jesus Christ, that boy's huge. So we were watching... pretty much all the House of Pain guys are now just like Stay Puft Marshmallow Men.
Yeah, because I mean, I always remembered Danny Boy as being like 6'4 skinny dude, and now he's just a big fatty.
Yeah, he's just a big fat guy.
You made my life not so.
That's one thing, though, is like out in New York, it was basically me and Keith were the only two guys who still admit that we like Limp Bizkit. You know, like, it pisses me off, and everyone's like, oh, that band sucks now. Like, Korn, Limp Bizkit, that shit was awesome, and it just pisses me off that everyone forgets how awesome it was.
94, 95, 96, Korn and Limp Bizkit ruled the world, whether people fucking admit it or not.
And if you listen to, like, I always remember I was really big into Megadeth for a little while. But,
oh, God.
I know. But you listen to Megadeth, and then you listen to the first Korn album, and it's, like, just one of those evolutionary steps that you can't go back. Like, yeah. Megadeth sounds so thin compared to Korn.
Well, I hang out with a friend of mine, Tony Lyons, and he's a huge, huge metalhead. And, like, he's still into Megadeth. Like, he's not a vocal guy. I love vocals. He's into guitars. And he just loves Megadeth to fucking pieces. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, why are you making me listen to this whining little girl again? But yeah, no, Megadeth, I remember when they fucking ruled the world.
Man, well, that's
sort of
thing.
Why I started listening to punk was because Megadeth and fucking Metallica. It is all you had. You had those two bands, as far as I was concerned. And then fucking Nirvana got me...
That's another nice memory, too, of old shit, is the first NoFX album I ever heard was you lent me your cassette of Heavy Petting Zoo. And to this day, it might not be the best NoFX album, but it's still my favorite because I just have
the first
all those
one you have.
Good
yeah.
memories of like, doot, 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 blah!
See, the first one I heard was, which one was Bob? What one did Bob come from?
It was either Punk and Drublic.
Yeah, it was
White
Punk
Trash.
And Drublic. And I no, it was White Trash, Two Heebs and a Bean. And I remember I... lent someone I had Moist for some ungodly reason, and I traded it to my buddy Steve, and he lent me NoFX, and I was like, geez, fuck, this is great. What are they doing? Fucking man, you can keep that Moist album, I'll fucking listen. And it was actually turned out being a great trade because Steve loved Moist. He's still doing music like that, I guess. And I fucking, I don't know, I got huge into the punk scene for a while there.
Something lame about being grand. son, that's me not being you. That's me not being you. Either part of the solution or the problem. Can I be a middle ground for just to see anybody? Replace Superman with your ordinary. Feel deep, feel full and alive. You're taking when you shouldn't give away. Feel deep, feel you gave to us. We cannot repay. Feel deep, feel full and the best. You've taken when you shoulda give away. Feel the feel you gave to us. We cannot repay. We cannot repay.
I remember too, like back then, I didn't know NoFX was a punk band. Or like when Offspring's big album, Smash, before it got hyper big, you know, I was in fairly early-ish because
you're the one that got me listening to them. I remember. Which is weird because I normally brought you all the weird fucking bands and said, hey, check this out.
Yeah, in that case, it was Eric from Backstreet sold the album to my friend Tim Martin. And then he gave me a copy of it. And yeah, and I didn't know that was punk. I just thought it was good. You know,
yeah.
It's just weird, like back then when I didn't know anything about it.
Although, for the Offspring, I have to say this. Looking back on all the shit they've done, I think their favorite song is Gone Away.
Yeah, that's
which
a good
is their
song,
most
man.
Non-punk tune ever.
That's true, though. It's fucking good. I really like that song.
I don't know. Like I said, I'm getting into like all the mellow fucking ballads and yeah, okay. I don't know.
throughout New York, it was always, if anything, Keith Malley was more into, even more into shitty metal than me, because he's like 6 years older than me, so he was more into Motley Crue and stuff.
Oh God.
But as much as we could cross over, you know, we were the guys that were not ashamed of shitty metal. But he was just having a party at their place, and he recorded like 4 hours of VH1 like rockin' classic bullshit metal that was on at 4 a.m. and just was playing it on his TiVo. And Sweating Bullets, the video came on.
Oh my God.
And I just lost my shit. I was like, this was my favorite fucking song when I was like 12 or 13. And that's the day that everyone, including Keith, just looked at me like I had two fucking heads. Because it's the shittiest. It's the worst video. It's so awful.
Oh, come on. It's awesome. I still love that song.
But you remember where he's...
Hello, me. Meet the real me. Like, come on.
The best is... Because it's like he's schizophrenic. And in the video, it's multiple versions of him. And they're like kicking each other in these gay little karate kicks and stuff, but the worst part is speak of mutually assured destruction. Nice story. Tell it to Reader's Digest.
Feeling paranoid through enemy.
Like I said, Buddy fucking sings through his nose.
And that's the worst lyric in the fucking world.
I don't know, so dude. I've heard some pretty fucking bad ones. Like, actually, I don't know. That is pretty hard to fucking top now that I think about it. But
he was taking it serious is what makes it so bad. He wasn't joking. He thought that was a good lyric.
It's because you get off the booze. David Mustaine got off the booze and started... Well, no, he was still doing speedballs when he was in Megadeth, but he got off the booze just before that album, and, yeah.
And did you ever hear it? That's like...
The fact that I know that is fucking pathetic, and the fact that it's still a kernel in my fucking brain.
Well, I was thinking, you know how they've got Rock Band, Metallica, or Guitar Hero?
Yeah, Beatles, Guitar Hero, Metallica, yeah.
If they did a Megadeth one, it would be so pathetic, because the whole Megadeth story in a nutshell, he got kicked out of Metallica... He named his band Megadeth so they would be ahead of Metallica in the record stores because he just wanted to show them, like, fuck you guys, I'm going to be bigger than you. And his biggest album, Symphony of Destruction, debuted at number 2 behind the Black Album.
Actually, it's like they were bigger than Metallica for a while there. Like, it debuted bigger.
But it was still number 2 after Black Album. Like, it was just like, there's no... History will always remember them as number 2.
Like, I remember the Black Album coming out, and I remember it being a big fucking deal, and I remember wanting it and... getting it and listening to it and thinking, oh, this is fucking awesome. And then like 2 months later, I was like, Jesus Christ, why am I listening to this shit? And I think
I started noticing that was when Chick started getting into Metallica.
Well, that's when I started listening to like Faith No More and who were the other big bands that I listened to around that time?
Oh, you know what?
Fishbone.
What I'm thinking of with that Black Album, I was only in like 7th grade, so I didn't know anything about anything, but that's when thinking back, those chicks in my junior high school that were all like, Metallica, yay! That's what it was like, oh, those are the dirt chicks that would give me blowjobs. Now I understand.
Actually,
I didn't know that back then.
Funny story about Metallica and dirt chicks and blowjobs. I was like the weird kid at school. I had the Tony Hawk bangs. I was the only kid at Nassau's Junior High that wore the big baggy pants and the plaid shirts and shit, and there was this chick. Do you remember Degrassi Junior High?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember Spike with the crazy fucking hairdo?
Right.
I remember I used to go hang out with Jay Arnold, Mike Campbell, other comic book geeks in their class, their homeroom class, because I don't know, I got stuck with the bad kids. And this Tina chick with the fucking Spike hairdo fucking comes up to me and is like, what are you doing this weekend? I said, I don't fucking know. She's like, Metallica's playing in Moncton. And I'm like, I can't afford to go see Metallica. She's like, I got another ticket. I got us a drive. Just... You gotta tell me yes. And I was like, okay. And I never talked to this chick. I never knew shit about her. I fucking barely even acknowledged the fact she existed. But
so she just cased you because of your clothes, basically?
Yeah, yeah. And I fucking went to Moncton and got my first blowjob.
Nice.
And I got to see Metallica during the And Justice for All tour.
Shit.
Which was fucking awesome. I almost went to see them. I went to the Montreal show. The infamous Montreal show.
Oh, where the pyro? Riot.
Yeah, yeah, where James got fucking nuked by pyro and Axl was a whining bitch. Faith No More was amazing.
I didn't even know they played that.
They were the opener. Huh. It was Faith No More, and then Metallica got on, and Guns N' Roses was supposed to close up the evening, and James fatefully stood on the top of a pyro and got all burnt to a cinder, and Axl whined that his throat hurt, and here I am, I'm like, shit, 14, 15, and there's a riot going on around me, and I'm sitting there with fucking my buddies, and I'm just like, where did your parents say they were going to pick us up? We had to find a payphone that was out of riot zone. Like, I've never been so terrified in my life.
Meet the real me in my misfits way of life. A dark black past is my most valued possession. Hindsight is always 20/20, but looking back, it's still a bit fuzzy. Speak of mutually assured destruction. Nice story, tell the fierce judges.
Feeling paranoid to win me your posturing. Anxiety's deck. Trouble for the things I haven't got to yet. I'm jumping at the bit and my palms are getting wet.
Hello me, it's me again. You can subdue but never tame. It gives me a migraine headache. Sinking down to your level. Yeah, just keep on thinking it's my fault. And stay an inch or two at a kicking distance. Mankind has got to know his limitations.
Feeling claustrophobic like the walls are closing in. Bloodstains on my hands and I don't know where I've been. I'm in trouble for the things I haven't got to yet.
See fingers claw your back. Here I come again.
Feeling paranoid to envy your offspring. Anxiety's attacking me. My hair is getting thin. Feeling claustrophobic like the walls are closing in. Bloodstains on my hands and I don't know where I've been.
Once you've committed me, you acquitted me. Acquitted me. Validity. Validity.
I've been involved in two riots, both of which have been in Montreal, and I'm sorry, like, I don't like riots. I'm sort of happy I live in this small, shitty little town where, you know, sure, it's getting worse, and sure, there's drugs and fucking hookers starting to filter in, but there's no riots on a regular fucking basis.
So what was the other one?
The other one, we went up to visit my buddy Wally, who actually grew up like a couple blocks. Remember Ryan Hoban?
Yeah.
Yeah, we went to visit Wally up in Montreal, and we were drinking in some park downtown Montreal. I was drunk when we got to Montreal.
Does this involve a horse? A police horse? I can't remember this story.
Yeah. We got to Montreal, and we were drinking in this public park, and this cop on a horse rides up and says, "What are you guys doing?" "Eh, we're partying. We're up to visit our friend." "Well, you can't drink here. Go that way and leave, and I won't fine you all." And there was like, I don't know, 12 of us. And so we start walking through the park, and we're going to go back to Wally's, and we get about halfway through the park, and there's another cop, and he's like, "Listen, you know, you can't have a drinking in public. Go that way." And I don't care. Go that way. So we turn around, we run into the first cop again. And I can't remember who did it. Someone whipped a beer can at his head when he threatened, when he started to pull out the ticket book and was like, "You're going to have to write you up." And he got all mad and whipped out the can of mace and maced like three of the boys. And fucking Wally had mace in his face. And Wally was a little heavy set guy. Like, I don't know, he was about 5'10", 5'11", but he was pretty chunk. And he drop kicked the horse. And blind as a bat, he drop kicks the horse, and there was these punks, like, I don't know, maybe like 50 yards away, that see us fucking take into this cop, so they start throwing shit around and fucking breaking shit, and other people in the park started breaking shit. Next thing you know, it's like this little tiny riot in a park that sort of bled out of the park, and cops were called in, and fucking all I know is I grabbed Zach Peters, and a bunch of us were pushing Zach down an alley. Zach got maced, and we're pushing him into garbage cans and shit, and it was pretty fucking weird.
Man.
But a bunch of the boys from Fredericton and their girlfriends got arrested, and were told never to fucking come back to Montreal. Wally was told he wasn't allowed to leave Montreal for a year, and that was... Well, there's an interesting story for you. Nice. Hint on life, don't get involved in riots.
Don't drop kick horses.
Yeah, drop kicking horses, not good.
Man, though, that's fucking cool that you got to see Faith No More, because I used to think, like...
They were an amazing fucking set.
Well, this would be the lame thing if I had a time machine. I think I've said this before on the show, but it'd be one thing to go back and see what Jesus was like or go see Roman Days, but what I would really want to do is go see Epic era Faith No More and Angel Dust era Faith No More, and then I'm good. Take my time machine. I don't care.
I'm sorry. Like, I think I would want to be a roadie. I would go back and be a roadie for fucking Mike Patton and watch his insanity. I mean, I remember watching Much Music footage of a show in Rio de Janeiro, where they were the opener, and
is this where he gets spit on?
No, he demanded that everybody throw their garbage on stage, and he swam through the garbage, and he ends up finding this half-eaten sandwich through the garbage. And I remember watching the footage as he just pulls this like disgusting dirt-covered sandwich out of this garbage pile and starts eating it and spitting fucking food all over the mic, and I was just like, that's fucking crazy rock and roll, and I love it.
And wasn't it when they were opening for Guns N' Roses that he poured the piss bottle over his head?
Who fucking knows? Mike Patton. Here's a little tidbit. I think I probably told you this. You remember I Am Legend with Will Smith?
Right.
Mike Patton is the voice of all the fucking creatures in that.
I did hear that, yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? Because I don't know. It wasn't a very good movie. It's sort of like Omega Man more. But
balls. But yeah, actually, let's fucking take a break here, because I'll show you on my YouTube page. I've got a clip of Mike Patton. I think from that same, it's in some concert in Brazil, so it might be the same one, of him getting like begging the crowd to spit on his face.
I think I've seen that.
It's fucking gross. But yeah, if anyone's near their computer listening to this, you can go onto my fucking YouTube page and watch it along with us. It's awesome.